So he says, who is the one me that you should contemplate on in your meditation? Verse number 29. Bhoktaram yajna tapasam sarvaloka maheshwaram suhridam sarvabhutanam ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं ऋच्छति भोक्तारं यज्ञतपसां सर्वलोकमहेश्वरं सुहृदं सर्वभूतानां ज्ञात्वा मां शान्तिं ऋच्छति. सो दिस लॉर्ड दैट इज आई, Bhagavan Shri Krishna says, I, this total Brahman, this total consciousness, who is that? Who am I? So he says, Bhoktaram Yajna Tapasam. Bhoktaram means I am the enjoyer of Yajna and Tapas. Yajna means when we do the pujas, the offerings that we make, when we offer in the fire, and Tapas is the austerity or the penance. So he says, I am the enjoyer of both. The yajna and the tapas. And I am Sarvaloka Maheshwaram. Sarvaloka, all worlds, all the 14 worlds, Mahaishwaram. I am the Supreme Lord of all the lokas. In fact, there are 14 worlds. Not only this universe that we see, which is trillions of miles long, which has billions of stars, that's only one world. There are 7 worlds above and 6 below. So total of 14 worlds. That I am the Lord of all the 14 worlds. But you say, well, if he's the Lord of the 14 worlds, he must be so difficult to approach. Here even a senator or a congressman, if somebody knows, he says, you know what? I know the congressman. It's not that easy to get to know him. To forget about governor and president. Oh, president, though you can't reach. And what is president? He's just a president of one country called United States, which is one of so many countries in this small little planet called Earth. And there are billions of such stars like the sun and the billions and trillions of such planets. And he's the Lord of all of those. And we just, the senator of one little state, and we start thinking, I am so great, you know, I am. That's just one out of 50 states. And that also, you know, you are one out of 100. And then there are millions of such planets. So what are you? But we get so arrogant, you know. And so we think that the senator is so hard to get to know, or the congressman, how difficult it must be to know the Lord. Said, no, I am not difficult. I am your friend. Suhridam sarva bhutanam. I am the friend of all. Nyatva mam shantim richati. Knowing me, you will reach shanti. If you don't meet me or don't come to know me, you will never get shanti. People say, you ask anybody, you want shanti or ashanti? You want peace or agitation? Say, I want shanti. Nobody wants disturbance. If you want shanti, only place to find is at the Lord's feet. Nothing else in this world can give you shanti. Everything leads eventually to ashanti. I think a couple of weeks back we had talked about how sense objects end up in sorrow. Anything that you own in this world sooner or later will give you sorrow. Whoever that person may be, how much ever that person loves you, but eventually, everything in this world leads to sorrow. If you want shanti, you can only find it at the Lord's feet. So, yajna tapas. And then, Bhagavan has not mentioned, but the third one is dana or charity. So, what is yajna? Yajna, as we mentioned, is offering in the fire. When we offer, when there's a panditji who comes and, you know, sets up everything, and then you do swaha and you offer in the fire. And why is the offering done? Why is the yajna done? For some particular goal. Like say a couple is not having a child, so they will do a yajna for a child, or or he started a new business, may the business be successful, so may I have lots of money, so he will do a yagna. Or some people do yagna for going to heaven, especially in the Vedas. You know, there were a lot of Vedic times, there were a lot of yagnas which were prescribed, and people who wanted to go to heaven, it was guaranteed. You do this yagna, your seat is booked. You know, it's confirmed. You have seat number this. And the only question is how close to Indra you are. See, in heaven also there are grades of heaven. The Indra's house is like the White House, and then the others are less. And then there is the slums of heaven, which is far away from Indra. So depending on your good deed, you will get closer to Indra. But then, as they said, once your time is up, you get kicked out. Chine punye martya lokam vishanti. So heaven is not permanent. It is a temporary place of enjoyment. So the point is that these yagnas are done for a particular goal in mind. Or it might be the yagna is done for me to purify my mind, to purify my house. But the Lord says, I am the enjoyer of the yagna. Whatever you may say, oh no, I'm not offering to God, I'm offering to Indra because we have had no rain, we have drought and we want rain. The Lord says, Indra is me. I say, no, I'm offering it to Lakshmi ji because I want more money. Said, Lakshmi ji is me too. Whether it's Indra, whether it's Lakshmi ji, whether it's Shiva, whether it's Brahma ji, whoever the Lord is, everybody is that one. And I am the enjoyer of all yagnas. Not only I am the enjoyer, but even the fruit I get. He says, no, Bhagavan, you don't get the fruit, I get the fruit. I go to heaven or I get my business. He says, I am you too. So the worshipper I am and the worshipped, both I am. And I am the one who is performing the worship. So the Pandit I am. So the one who is offering in the fire, the one to whom it is being offered, all I am. That consciousness says, I am everywhere. Then tapas. Then we do austerities. Yagna also means doing unselfish activity dedicated to the Lord for the benefit of society without I and my. We had studied in the fourth chapter. So that yagna also, when it is done, even when I say I'm doing it for the benefit of society, Lord says, I am the society. So every activity that you do, ultimately, I am the enjoyer, the Lord says. And then when we do tapas, tapas means penance. You know, you stand on one leg or you sit for hours and all that. Again, what is your goal? You know, as we said, moksha parayana, like for people like Ravana, you know, we know, Mahishasura and all of these people did lot of tapas. But they did it for what? For selfish reasons, to get more power. Ravana wanted to be immortal. And he wanted, like Hiranyakashyapu, he did tapas. And somebody told Brahmaji, why did you give him these boons? Brahmaji said, I didn't have a choice. He did the tapas. This is a karma bhumi. If you do penance, you will get the result. But your goal is very important. Why am I doing this penance? Am I doing it for personal power? Or some people do penance so they can get siddhis. They can read people's mind and they can predict the future. Those are not important siddhis. The most important is I am doing to know myself. That is the biggest siddhi. Pehle aap pehchano re sadhu. Know yourself first. That is the biggest siddhi, the biggest power. So any of these austerities when you do, the Lord says, I am the beneficiary because I am you. And then dana, when we do charity, that also is the Lord himself. So when I give something to somebody, instead of getting arrogant about it, I understand that the Lord is the giver. Everything that I have, I am giving. That's why when they offer some food to the Lord, there is a very beautiful prayer. Chode lok tumari shakha, jo dina so aage rakha, jo jo bhave so lije, jutan apne das ko dije. So he says, chode lok tumari shakha, your power is in all the 14 worlds. Jo dina so aage rakha, whatever this fruit or this sweet I am offering to you, Lord, I have taken from your garden only, you are the giver. I am not, we say, oh, I took to the temple and I gave so much. It is whatever the Lord has given me, I am giving back to him. Jo dina so aage rakha. So I am offering to the Lord जो जो भावे सो सो लीजे जूठन अपने दास को दीजिए. He says this food that I am offering to you, O Lord, please accept it and bless it so that I may get it as your. That's why prasad we say is the Lord's blessing, because once we offer it to the Lord, then the Lord as if blesses it. In fact, they actually say the subtle part of the food has a subtle part, the rajasic part, and then the tamasic part. The subtle part of the food goes to the higher worlds. Or like if you offer it to the pitrus, to your ancestors, when you do the pindadana, then the subtle part goes to them. The rajasic part we eat, and then the tamasic part we excrete, what you cannot digest. So when you offer to the Lord, it's the subtle part that the Lord gets, and then the food, of course, not that the food gets any less. In fact, the food gets blessed. So all three, yajna, tapas, and dana, why are these three mentioned? Because there are three kinds of sorrows. We have talked about that, adhi daivik, adhi bhautik, and adhyatmik. So one sorrow can come from the God, means from nature, in earthquakes, floods. Then sorrow can come from the surroundings, from my neighbors, my family. Or sorrow can come from within. You know, some people for no reason they get stressed or you get an illness. So three kinds of tapa. So when you do yajna, you are propitiating the gods. So you are reducing the sorrow. When you do tapas, it is for the self, for self sorrow, and dana is for the surroundings. So doing those three makes us, all those three sorrows get reduced. So we understand that the Lord is the giver of all. This reminds me of a story. So there were these two brothers, 12 and 8 years old, were visiting their grandma's house, grandparents' house. And it was the first week of December, just before Christmas. So this 8-year-old boy is sitting on the bed at bedtime and he says loudly, God, give me a bicycle. God, give me a computer. God, give me a trip to Disneyland. Loudly he's shouting. So the brother says, why are you shouting? God is not deaf. He said, yeah, God is not deaf, but grandma is. So he knows the giver is grandma. It's not... So the point is that whatever I get, he says, I am the bhokta, I am the enjoyer, and I am the giver also. In fact, the Lord is everything. He is the creator from whom we emerge. And then when we are in the world, he is the God is generator, organizer, destroyer. Generator means creates, organizer means sustains us, supports us. And destroyer means at the end, we merge back into him. So we emerge from the consciousness. We are sustained here and then we merge back. So death is nothing but going back home. So it's not something to be afraid of. I'm going back home. I'm going back to my Lord. So that's why. So he is the worshipper and the worshipped. And as we said, he is the Lord of the entire universe. Not only the Lord of the universe, but inside me also, he is the Lord of me. And my eyes are functioning because God is functioning through them. My eyes are illumining all the objects. My ears are illumining the sounds, the taste, the touch, the smell. Whatever I am experiencing, my mind is feeling emotions. My intellect is thinking thoughts. All because the Lord, Maheshwar, the Lord is within me. So Sarva Loka Maheshwaram, he's not only the Lord of the 14 worlds, but the Lord of me, within me. In fact, today's the children's message, somehow it seems to fit what we are doing, where in the 11th chapter he says, Arjuna, see the whole universe in me. Pashya me parth, Sarva Bhutani, whatever, everything you can see. So the 11th chapter. So he is everything and everybody, but then he should be very powerful, right? He should be very difficult to approach, should be far away, sitting somewhere in way up above the clouds, way above space, further than the furthest. So that's why in the Kaivalya Upanishad. He says, I am the bigger than the biggest, I am the smaller than the smallest. I am further than the furthest and closer than the closest. Why? Because he is in us. He is me in my heart. But not as a punisher, but as a friend. Because he is the voice of conscience. Because when I am doing something wrong, the voice said, don't do that. You know, that's not right. You know, it's not good. So the voice of wisdom that comes. And also God is a friend. That's why they say, people say, you should be God-fearing. I say, no, you should be God-loving. Love God and whatever relationship you want to develop, friend or beloved or my beloved father or mother, but develop a relationship of love. They say, well, if I'm not God-fearing, then I'll do wrong things. No, you should fear your karmas. Be karma-fearing, that whatever karmas I do, I'll get the results. But God is my friend. So always have that attitude and suhridam. And he is the very compassionate, very kind, very loving. He has our interest at heart. That is called suhridam, who always thinks about your welfare. So think about God as one who thinks of my welfare constantly. And then alone you will get shanti. Then alone you will get peace. Because until you do that, until you discover the peace within, you will always be looking for it outside. Last week we had talked about that antar jyoti, antar ramaha, antar sukha, everything he finds within. And when they talk about knowing God, knowing does not mean that knowing God as an object, like I know the mic or I know the tablecloth is blue. But knowing means experiencing, realizing, becoming one with that. So whenever he says jnatva in the Bhagavad Gita, he does not mean knowing me as an object, but knowing me as yourself. So that is the essence of these three verses. The first two talk about meditation, and the third talk about who is this God and where all he is, and that will be expounded in the next few chapters. Any questions, any comments? Yeah.
We do pranayama in yoga, we do the balanced breath, but then we also, when we hold an asana, I've been taught that you make the exhale twice as long as the inhale. So is that a concept or?
No, that's correct. The exhalation has to be twice as long. Yes, so the inhalation and then you take a pause and then the exhalation has to be, yes. So whatever technique you are doing, you know, it has to be followed with full attention. But yeah, doing it twice as long. So that is called Purak, Rechak and then Kumbhak, you know. So intake, excretion and then the pause, yeah. But again, you know, depends on, you know, your training, your abilities, but yes, they do recommend twice as that, 3 seconds inhalation and 6 seconds exhalation. It's hard to control that long, but with practice you can do that. Yes. Anything else?
Why is it that we have to take exhalation longer?
I don't know. I'm not an expert on pranayama. Maybe she might know.
When you're holding an asana and you begin to exhale, your body releases more. And it just sort of relaxes more. So, and I found that to be true. And holding an asana is difficult. But as you, your body just sort of relaxes into it. And so if the whole idea is just, you know, to relax your mind and your body, by holding that, you just allow your body to, by exhaling very slowly, you allow your body to relax into it. It's almost like going into maybe a meditative state, sort of.
Right. So there, that's your answer. No, she does yoga, so she is the right person. But I don't practice pranayama. I just observe the breath. You know, take a breath in and then pause and then just breathe out slowly and, you know, relax. But if you can do that, that's good. I think whatever way, your attention has to be on the breath. And then along with that, if you do the mantra, then even your attention is more on the breath and the mantra.
are different kind of yogas, and they have different techniques in different kinds of yogas.
Right.
And there are yogas where you just normally breathe in any posture.
Right.
And the exhalation is longer because that's the best way to take out your toxins.
Right. Okay. So there. So we have experts here. So no, that's true. Yeah, she's right. Yeah, exhalation is good for removing toxins. Yeah.
Vipassana meditation, they have a technique they call anapana, and where they basically just concentrate on this little area right here by your nose. You breathe in and you just feel that, like, the temperature. You breathe out, it's warmer. When you breathe in, it's cooler. And it's,
yes,
it's very effective because you end up completely shutting everything off except this one little triangle.
Right, right. No, she's, yeah, you're right. Where you know the difference in the temperature, what the air going in is cooler and the air coming out. Yes, that also. Whatever can bring your attention to the breath. Yeah, I think a lot of these things they call meditation is good because it quietens the mind, but it is more mindfulness. This does not remove the ignorance. It is very good for quietening the mind. You can watch the dishes, you can play, you can motorcycle. But until you remove the ignorance, who am I? It is a temporary. See, while I'm washing the dishes or while I'm in that flow, my mind is quiet. But then soon as I'm out of that activity, my mind gets agitated. Raman Maharishi says, he says, like a jala pakshivat, like a bird is caught in a net. While it is caught, it is caught. But the moment you release the net, the bird flies away. So the mind is temporarily quietened in the flow, in the dish. There's nothing wrong with that. But until you eka chintanath nasham ityata, he says one thought that I am Brahman, that has to take over, then and then alone you will, your mind will be permanently controlled, permanently. This is temporary and it's very good. I'm not faulting these techniques. But to think that this alone is meditation is not. That's what we will be doing in the sixth chapter. That meditation is abidance in the truth that I am that.
It's almost like a taste.
Yes.
It gives you a taste.
Right.
Of what it can be like.
Can be like. Absolutely. Right, right. So this quietude of the mind that you experience is wonderful. But then your goal is to always be in that state, and that can only happen with knowledge. That's why throughout the Bhagavad Gita, the Lord will say knowledge, 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 knowledge. Everything is knowledge. So these all techniques are very good. But then people go to a weekend retreat and say, now I have learned meditation, you know, and the weekend they've come back. That's not it. It takes years to always abide. So I'm not putting these techniques down. They are wonderful. But being in that state all the time, that is. But thank you very much for your questions and comments. Just a couple of announcements. Next 2 weekends, I won't be here. Ashok Ji will be doing the class, Ashok Bhatt. So May 5th will be a full class, full 1 hour. May 12th will be a half a class. It will be only half an hour because May 12th is Gurudev Jayanti. We are celebrating Gurudev and Mother Jayanti, Mother's Day, Mother's Day and Gurudev Jayanti. Om Sarve Bhavantu Sukhinah, Sarve Santu Niramaya, Madrani Pashyantu, Ma Kashchit Dukkha Bhavet. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti, Hari Om Shri Guru, Hari Om.